Hello and welcome to Adulting with Ebony, the podcast where each week I explore what it means to be a kick-ass and kind adult in our modern world. Expect strong language and viewpoints, as no topic is out of bounds here. My guests and I will navigate the complete spectrum from wildness to responsibility with compassion and curiosity rather than expectation. I'm Ebony Allard and I'm a misfit turned maven and author, a coach and your host for Adulting with Ebony. Come on then, let's do this. Hello and welcome to this week's episode. Today I'm joined by Kathleen Hannigan, who is a spiritual teacher, a modern mystic, a psychotherapist and author whose work integrates the essential wisdom of the great spiritual traditions with scientific knowledge. Kathleen's gift is her ability to translate esoteric knowledge into practical tools that help us navigate the stormy waters of the human journey. Welcome, Kathleen.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. I'm so glad to be here. It's such a good topic, adulting.
Well, let's start with that. What does adulting mean for you? What does it mean to be an adult?
What it means to be an adult, you know, I was actually just writing my blog for this week about, you know, how to master your emotions so that they don't master you. I think that part of being an adult is having a very strong capacity to witness our own emotions and contain them and regulate them in terms of how we interface with the world. And so because I work a lot with people and I'm a couples therapist, I see a lot of dysregulation and a lot of people and even in the general public, right, as well, and political scene too, just spurting out and feeling like they have that they're entitled to unbridled self-expression, and that is not being an adult, I will say. So it's being able to regulate and maintain respect for other human beings and other beings, including the earth. And that has to do with how we express what's inside us.
I love that. I want to pick up on something you said. So I'm a big advocate for adulting. I'm a really big advocate for self-responsibility. And yet when you say that unbridled self-expression isn't a responsible or adult thing, there's a part of me that instantly goes, but.
Yeah,
no. Be allowed to, what?
I know, I totally get it, yeah. So first, let me tell you where that term came from and what I mean by it. So unbridled self-expression is a term that I believe was first used by Terence Real, who's a very well-known couples therapist. He's mm-hmm. written a lot of books about men and specifically about men regulating themselves and then about couples. And unbridled self-expression is when we feel entitled to spew forth our judgments and our thoughts and our feelings onto another person, so that it's not just anger. Anger's fine. We can say, I'm really angry. I'm, you know, upset with you. I don't like what you did. But you are, you know, that spewing of what's called rage is unbridled self-expression. And it's always hurtful. It's always, always, always hurtful. One caveat to that, I suppose, you know, everything has an exception. In a couple where, you know, somebody's really hurt the other, like through infidelity, let's say, something really raw. And let's say it's the woman and she can't seem to reconnect. She can't get past it. She still has so much hurt inside. And I work with them to be the adults in the session and be able to explain and express and all that. But she still has that in there. I will set up a container so that he is willing to listen to her just spew. But even then, I'll have her create like an energetic shield around him and say, this is not about you. This is about my pain, and I'm going to let it out now. And that she must be willing to go to, and what this brings up from my past. In other words, if we have rage as an adult and we have the need to, we feel it or we need to express it, it always goes back to an earlier time before the age of 7. So that's another part of being an adult, is realizing, you know, when you're in an emotional blind spot, so that something that's happening right now and that you believe is all that person's fault is really from before. And that's big work to make those connections.
Yeah, I totally hear that. You know, what I also hear is it's really about creating containers, because I think we, in a healthy, as a healthy, what I call kick-ass and kind adult, you still have access to that unbridled expression in whatever fierceness it is that's coming and wants to be expressed, but you have control over it, right? So you don't, you're not a three-year-old who's having a tantrum in the middle of the airport. You're able to say, I really want to have a tantrum in the middle of this airport, and maybe later a safe space in a time that's convenient for us both.
Right. And where you consent to it, because we're also really big on, you know, adults engaging consensual sex. Well, it's the same with that. It is a form of deep, intense connection. So in terms of unbridled expression of one's creativity or anything like that, I mean, no problem there. But it's that expression of, it's character annihilation, basically. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing that I've seen a lot of lately. Mm-hmm. And I have many people, I'd say more than ever in all the 30 years that I've worked with people, coming to me saying, I want to change this. I keep losing relationships. I keep losing jobs, or I keep, you know, alienating people because I just get so anxious and I get so angry. And that, when they come to me, I really help them do the work of reconnecting to that child inside so that they can grow that child up to become an adult, you know. And that's, you know, sometimes our bodies and our minds and, you know, other parts of us have matured, but there is an emotional child inside, and that child is still having a temper tantrum.
And this may, it's such a question. I'm like, is this a really loaded question? So I really know that, right? I work with a lot of people and I also really work with them around being their own ideal mom and being their own ideal dad and really understanding what their needs are, learning how to articulate those needs and then meet them for themselves or request that someone meet them for them, knowing that it is a request, not a demand.
Yes.
But my question is, are we ever done on that? Like, do we get to a point where there are no inner children left?
Well, I don't think so. Okay. I think that the more we do our work, that, you know, the more we can say, you know, oh, that there's that part of me, that little one that feels like no one really understands her. You know, that's a deep wound, one of the narcissistic wounds of not being seen, heard, or understood. And the truth is that that's a wound. And so just like, I mean, I broke my elbow several years ago when I was biking, and it's very strong. So, you know, I love that quote by Hemingway, the world breaks everyone apart and some are strong in the broken places. Mm. So where we have our wounds, we may be very sensitive to hurting another person. So we actually can use that inner hurt still to have compassion, you know, and regulate ourselves. But the truth is, if I bang this elbow, it hurts like hell. If I bang the other one, it hurts, but not as much as this one. Mm-hmm. So when I think that, I mean, I'm going to be 67 in 3 days, so I don't know. I'm not done, all right? So will I be at 80 or 85? Saying, well, all the kids have integrated now. I don't know. I kind of would like to still have access to my joyful, playful child at 90 or 95. And I think it's a package deal that you also have access to the one who feels left out too, or, you know, has a wound. But they're right there, and you talk to them, and they're with you, and they're not just acting out anymore, you know?
Yeah, I totally. So for me, that's kind of, we feel, instead of feeling fragmented, we feel whole.
We feel whole.
And so I can feel whole with the sulky kind of tantruming kid that I've got. Like, she's a part of me just as much as the other part.
She is. And you know, here's the thing that she's like feeling hurt or left out, or, you know, miffed by something that someone said. And what a lot of people in the service of trying to be an adult will say, well, that doesn't matter. And then later they find that they're distancing from the person, or they're snarky. When the truth is, if we listen to that part, we might want to go to that friend or our partner and say, you know, I want to talk to you about something. When you said that the other day in that group, I felt like you were putting me down. And you know, so to say it, and you have an opportunity for intimacy. But it's not about, you know, when you said that, you made me feel, because, you know, with as an adult, you can't really blame somebody else for how you feel. You feel it because you feel it, you know? As a matter of fact, what I have my clients say, when you yelled at me, I made myself feel small and insignificant. Full responsibility.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. And I think also, so I grew up with a psychotherapist in the house and as a teenager, the use of projection and the use of like ownership and all of that was frustrating, let's say. And at the same time, like where I am now, approaching 40, I am so grateful for all of those things. Like for me, with any tools that we're given, we learn them, and it's a really good idea to learn them as they were intended to be learnt. And then you can integrate them and use parts of them in the ways that work for you. And okay. I think it's really important to learn them in the way that they were intended to be learnt first, because I've oftentimes seen people try and skip to the end, and then they're kind of cherry picking one thing from one modality and one from another. And
yeah.
Does that make sense? It doesn't, you kind of really need to get it before you can do that.
You need to get it. And one of the biggies, and when as adults, I believe we need to be able to witness and recognize our emotions. You know, they're part of our limbic system and we have them, you know, we need them. And if we over-identify with them, then we just let them out or we get caught by them. But if we witness them, you know, we can own them and say that, you know, this is what's going on for me. And one of the things I see when, and especially when I'm teaching men more, I would say I teach men more, although I have to teach a lot of women too, to identify an emotion. Mm-hmm. Like, this isn't a feeling. I feel like you don't like me is not a feeling. I feel sad is a feeling, right? So they'll start with, well, you know, well, it's just because that's the way I feel. And that's why I said that. And so using the feelings as a weapon or a reason for being nasty or accusatory. No, it doesn't give us the right to that. It gives us the ability to witness and be able to talk about it. You know, I imagine a lot of your listeners have children, and when you're shaping a child's behavior, I have a little 3.5-year-old grandson, right? If it's dinner time and he says, you know, I want a cookie, there's some cookies on the counter, and if I say no, you can't have the cookies, but you must be hungry, you can have something else. I'm recognizing that he wants something. If he has a temper tantrum because he wants the cookies, you can't stop the temper tantrum, but you don't give him the cookies for it, right? And when they're learning even how to, like, before they know how to say cookie, you teach them how to say, what do you want? Ask for what you want. As you had said that earlier, request, not demand, you know? Mm-hmm. So we need, as adults, we need to tell those kids inside how to ask for what we want. But it doesn't always mean we're going to get it, mm-hmm. you know? And then so we make a request and then have a hissy fit when our partner doesn't want to give that to us. That wasn't a request. That was, you know.
I had a beautiful, like, aha in my own head as you were speaking. I was like, what if, rather than judging or seeing those childlike parts of myself that feel easily bruised and that that are sticky, right? That come to the surface in intimate situations, often with the people closest to me. What if instead of judging them, I saw them as parts of myself that haven't yet learnt how to request what it is?
Yeah, that's perfect. That's brilliant. That's exactly right. And you know, there are some that if we've been hurt so early, like pre-verbally, before we could speak, and many people have been, in fact, very many people have been wounded pre-verbally, we don't have words. And but we can learn, we can identify the emotion and say, and even sometimes it's as simple and profound as, I feel like I have a big elephant on my chest right now. It feels so heavy ever since, you know, I found out that you cheated on me. And maybe she was betrayed at a very young age, and that feeling is the same feeling. So we have to get creative with how we express. You know, we don't always even know what the emotion is. But we can talk about the body. We can talk about how, you know, an analogy about how it makes us feel.
So what's beautiful for me in that is that if we're being creative, that it comes from this attitude of curiosity, which, so for me, my whole philosophy is around an attitude of curiosity over expectation, right? Like, what if instead of thinking, oh, I should know the word for this, or oh, I shouldn't be feeling like this, which is expectation, what if it comes from curiosity of like, what is this sensation? Like, how else might I be able to describe it? How can I communicate with you? Because you've consented to listening while I attempt to communicate what's going on for me, what this is, what the sensei of this is. Yeah. That's really interesting. That's intimacy.
It is. And it elicits enormous empathy and compassion from the other person. It's really remarkable. I was just thinking about a couple that he was ex-Marine, very, you know, that kind of guy. And he didn't want to be in, he didn't want to be in the room, but he started to kind of like the process, and he trusted me. And he had been at times verbally abusive to his partner, and she was a bit meek, and I urged her to speak up about what she wants him to work on. And I did a piece with him, and he went inside, and he kept popping his eyes open. I said, see if you can keep yourself in there for a while. He's very extroverted, and I asked him to notice his body, and he made a face, and I said, what was that? He said, there's something there, but I don't know what it is. And I said, okay, good. He says, I want to get away from it. Okay, well, could you stay with it a little longer so we know, you know, just stay there. And I said, where is it? And he, you know, was in his belly, and he told me what it looked like. And well, what I got, because I will feel it because I'm an empath, it was a big ball of shame, huge ball of shame. And he had been acting shamelessly, and he hadn't, you know, really connected to shame. And therefore, he could keep doing what he was doing. And then he'd say, sorry, and he did it again. And I said, could you name that? And he said, no. So I took a chance, and I named it for him, because I actually think that sometimes babies experience shame so early, it's they don't even know what it is, and particularly boys, and there's research on that. And I said, could it be that you feel shame? And he started to weep. And he said, yes, I'm so ashamed for all the times I've hurt my partner. And he went on, and he popped his eyes open, and she was looking at him, and she was crying, and she reached for him, and she said, I finally believe you, you know. And he had said, I was sorry so many times. You know, he didn't do it after that. He connected, you know, he really connected. And that's a part of being an adult. It's really deep work. It's big work. There aren't that, I don't meet that many adults, to tell you the truth, who've done the work.
Yeah, it's beautiful, actually. I've got some clients I want to give a shout out to, because I know it's, you know, and I'm saying, sure, the same for you. It's like, oftentimes I have clients who are anywhere from, you know, their mid 30s to mid 40s who are really committed to doing this work right now.
Yeah.
But who often say out loud, why has it taken me so long? Why am I only doing this now? Why, you know, why? And I'm like, there are people in their 70s
yes.
who haven't touched on it yet. You know, you're doing the very fact that you're here, that you're showing up, that you're willing.
Exactly.
It's worth celebrating.
It can at any time. I have a lot of women that come in their 60s because they don't want to go to a 30-year-old therapist, you know, and they come and they have, they can make great strides at any time. I will say that earlier you do the work, the better. But to think like, well, oh, I already did this before. Well, it's kind of, we've heard this before. It's like a spiral. So you did your mother work here, and here you are again with you're doing some more mother work. But all the work you did before really makes a difference now. And it's not necessarily as difficult, and it doesn't take as long for you to make the connection that, oh, this is my, you know, my issue with my mom of feeling inadequate or whatever it may be, you know, and that way we can own it and not project that onto our partner. I was just thinking, I don't know, have you ever heard of the 90-10 rule?
Tell us. I feel like there's always a 90-10 rule or an 80-20 rule.
There's an 80-20, and I think it started with, I think it started with finance, to tell you the
truth.
All right. But so the 90-10 rule with relationships is that 90% of the reason you're feeling the way you do comes from you, inside you and your past. It's yours. And 10% is your partner triggering that, especially if it's very intense. But the way you experience it as it's 100% that person sitting across from you. And that is a moment of being in the emotional blind spot. And even though I am not a big rule person, like, because I really only think rules are there because some people just don't know how to behave, you know. So, but there are some rules that do help with this. And that rule is so great when you, and I'll say it to somebody when they're like, sure that it's all the other person, I'll say, remember the 90-10 rule. it helps. It helps because that's a concept that connects to this part of their brain, and then they can make the connection, you know?
Yeah.
So I use that one a lot, you know, and I'll say, I'll give it to you. It could be 60-40 or 70-30, but let's just go with it. Okay.
Oh, this has been so fun. I'm so glad that we've had this conversation. If people want to come find out more about how they might come work with you, if they want to come find your book, we didn't even touch on your book. There's so much in there. I'm like, I've added it to my list of ones I want to get for myself. Where's the best place for that? We'll put all the links through so they can click, but where's the best place for them to come find you?
I would say just go to my website, www.kathleenhannigan.com. KathleenHannagan. It's the Irish way of spelling it, right? And I have there's a book page there. It links to Amazon, but if you go to the page on my website, you get, you can get a free chapter of the book. You can also get a free meditation. So I give a lot of things to people so that they get a sense of, you know, I figure if people are going to do this deep work, as you know, because you do it too, like they want to know who we are and they want to know they can trust us. So that gives people a way to know who I am a little bit more. So.
Thank you so much for coming and chatting with me. I feel like sometimes I get people on the show where I'm like, I just want to talk forever. Why do we only do 20 minutes?
Well, we jammed a lot into 20 minutes.
So. We really did. We really did. Will you end on an I'm an adult, but with me?
Sure. I'm an adult, but sometimes I get really disappointed when people aren't dependable, and I feel really deeply sad sometimes. Even though I know I can't expect everybody to meet all my expectations, I still feel that way sometimes.
Yeah.
It's okay. She's all right. She's a little sweetie. I love her. She's sensitive. She helps me know how other people feel, you know?
Yeah. I don't know whether everyone else gets this, but these days when I talk about or think into the parts of me that are the wounded child, you know, version of me, I always get an image as well. So I get like literally a version of me. And so as you're talking through that, I see a version of me sitting in a corner with a book under the curtains where I used to hide. We had like a window seat with the curtains on the windows, and I used to sit on the seat and draw the curtain around me so no one could see me, because everyone else, you know, it's like no one meets my expectations. You're all awful humans and no one is as good as me, and I'm gonna hide in my bubble. So I'm an adult, but that still happens to me.
It still happens.
Absolutely. And I self-regulate. I take myself into my little bubble with the curtain around and read a book and go some other place where they will meet my expectations.
I love it. I think that's actually quite healthy. So let me just come out after that, you know. Yeah, you don't stay there, right?
Oh, I don't. No.
You feel reconnected to yourself then. Thank you. This is lovely. I love talking about this. I think it helps people. And you're doing a beautiful thing. Thank you.
Thank you.
This has been Adulting with Ebony. I have been Ebony. You have been great. Thank you so much for all of your support. Please keep listening, liking, rating, sharing, so that more people can come and enjoy and engage with us. Really, thank you. I'll see you next time.